I thank you all very much for coming. You are not getting tired of lectures. Today it will be very joyful and very simple and very easy, but very deep also. So I'm very happy to deliver this lecture. It is called The Art of Dancing. And I think many of you must have asked themselves, what is Maharaj speaking about? Has he become a lady? No. Because sometimes men think dancing has a certain cultural idea attached to it, but this movement is actually resting on three pillars. Prabhupada once said to us, simply propagate this chanting, dancing, feasting, and following the regulative principles. These are the four pillars of success, Nitai Gunamani. So what is it? Chanting, dancing, feasting. Yes, this is actually four altogether, yes. So I feel we speak a lot about chanting, and from your happy faces I can see you have done a lot of feasting. Why do you laugh? It is very obvious. And yes, there are devotees amongst us who follow these principles also, but today I would like to speak exclusively on dancing. Actually, to give a little introduction to this little workshop, I should say, we will also dance at the end. Yes, I will teach you how to do that in the way it is conceived of. To begin this, I would like to give you a little bit the history of this kirtan. When this kirtan came into the material world, it always was accompanied with dancing, because by chanting the holy name in unison, some extraordinary feelings are coming into the heart, which need to be expressed. I think we all know feelings of gratitude. When we feel a feeling of gratitude, we want to express our gratitude, usually by perhaps giving gifts or by appreciating a person who has done something wonderful for us. Feelings always look for an expression outside. Therefore, the feelings of devotional ecstasy are often accompanied with dancing and moving and so on and so forth. And I thought today to speak about how to translate devotional feelings into physical movements. But I will first prepare my ground by explaining a little bit about the background of dancing. I will talk about full dance, where seven bodily parts are engaged with, and I will speak about what makes the dancing of a devotee a spiritual activity, which is different from other types of dancing. So, and at the end, we will dance all together in a very nice devotional way. Okay? Good, good, good. Be careful that I don't start immediately. I like to dance. I always like to dance.
Vrindavan Dham,
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskarya Sadayine Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry that I'm so forgetful, but I need for my room, there is this Krishna Katamrita Bindu, somewhere, the same one which you sent over. Can you bring the entire thing to me? And just so, please forgive me, I'm sorry. So Hare Krishna, my dear everyone, when I came to meet the devotees, I saw them actually on a TV screen, and I instantly liked the chanting of the Holy Name. That was my first meeting, I believe. And later I met them on the streets in the winter time when it was snowing, and they were dancing on the streets. And I must confess, the singing was all right for me, but the dancing, and in the winter, and in these dresses, I didn't know what to think about this, really. I tried to find out what dancing steps they danced, but it seemed there was no, I mean, I had gone to dancing school, I know jazz dance, I know twist, many of you, this is what Elvis Presley does, I know waltz, I know different forms of promenade, it's called in German, but this dancing not only did not make sense for me, but I couldn't see any consistent dance movements in it. Sometimes they raised their hands, then there was jumping, and also I was, and then this music, I mean, there was spiritual music, but yes, the dervishes dance, I liked that very much, they turn around. Yes, tribal dancing, I have also, I knew that, I was interested in that. The first moment, first time when I became a little close to a devotee, I said, what do you call your dance step? And one devotee said, the Swami step. I went to the dictionary, there was no Google at that time. I couldn't find out the step. Not tango, not waltz. It took me a long time to give up my reservations and based on this long journey, I would like to today introduce the first part of my Art of Dancing seminar. Hare Krishna. There is a verse which is very, very important to understand a dance. Krishna rana chai prema bhakti rana chaya apane na chayatine nache ekatani nachaya nache means dance. Ecstatic love of Krishna makes Krishna and his devotees dance. Ecstatic love also dances personally. In this way, all three dance together in one place. Love dances, Krishna dances, and the devotees dance. It's a dancing trio. There's another verse which says, bhakti makes Krishna dance, bhakti makes the devotees dance, bhakti dances itself. So, what this verse points to, my dear devotees, that the spiritual dancing of Vaishnavas is complete only when there are the three elements. The devotee, who dances for Krishna, and the bhakti bhava. This is a certain element in the heart. It is a sentiment, a feeling. And when this comes together, and it is not, for instance, show dance or physical dance, like for exercises. There are many good dance programs on Google, which is for increasing the heartbeat and the breathing and so on. But when this is a different thing. This is a dance with a certain bhava, a devotional bhava. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. He said, simply by chanting and dancing, we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities. For the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love. Wow, this is a profound statement. When you learn to chant very nicely and simultaneously dance in the correct way, this will inspire the I'm not so good in English. In some English words, the arousal, das Entstehen of love in your heart. I was for a long time thinking about it when I did my research for my new book. There is something like induced happiness. What this means is you somehow smile, and as your mouth goes into the smiling position, some serotonin hormone is emitted from the glands and zoop, goes through your whole body, and you become happy. It's shown that students who are in great stress as they write their examinars, if they can just put a pen in their mouth and the mouth goes like this, they lose their stress and become happy even writing a difficult exam. There's a good amount of research about this. So a mechanical activity like smiling or even laughter therapy without even content, you know, you just or you just laugh like this, it gives a physical result that is measurable. However, chanting and dancing doesn't fall in this category that you somehow move. You have to move with these three elements: Krishna, bhakti, and then your dancing will help you to taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. See, we are hearing so many lectures about nectar and how to get it. Here's a practical way to chant and dance. I will read you a few quotations. It's an often overlooked part of our process. Chanting the holy name causes me to dance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his initiation, he comes back to his spiritual master and says, I used to be a scholar, now I'm a dancer. Chanting the holy names causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. And then he said, when my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled, and then he began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. So yes, chanting does this, especially when it is accompanied by dancing. Srila Prabhupada talks about his devotees with pride in his voice. Sometimes he says, when our students chant and dance, even the people of India are astonished to see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. You know, when we go get into kirtan in India, boom, it's like bees who come to taste honey. There's so many. This is not due to practicing dense steps. No, Prabhupada says it's to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the transcendental pleasure potency which descends from the spiritual world. So we can summarize this part and say chanting and dancing in a spiritual way is clearly something that is an inside-out activity. A good example would be a volcano who has lava inside, and as it heats up, it becomes boiling, and then comes up to the edge of the crater, and then flows down from the crater. It looks very beautiful when you don't stand close to the mountain, especially in the night. So a devotee also chants and connects his chanting with Krishna, and Krishna, seeing that the devotee chants like this, responds by sending into his heart a transcendental potency that electrifies or energizes the devotee with love of Krishna. That I will do before our exercise. Now there are seven principal forms of dance, and as you see fit as a dancer, you will incorporate them in your dance movement. I know those who are shy now, they will faint in a moment. That's good fainting. Yeah. The first dancing is dancing with neck movements. The second dance, so the neck starts to dance, then the eyes start to dance. Then the dance is with expressions. I saw this with my very good friend, he's deceased, he's a real great devotee of the Lord, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami. When he would dance, he would start to gesture. He would approach, for instance, the deity and make this gesture. It means, I'm my Lord, I give my heart to you. Who has seen Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj? You can Google, everything is on Google Acharya. It is some hand gestures or arm gestures. You see in the Hare Krishna movement, often devotees feel inspired to raise the arms like this. No, it is an expression which means something. It means just like a helpless child who wishes to be picked up by his parents, I now raise my hands. Have you seen children doing this? Yeah. With the desire that my Lord, please pick me up. Please take me. This is the idea behind this. No? It's not a meaningful gesture of anything else than a devotional expression. Human beings always had gestures. I know 50 years ago this was a gesture in Germany. and meant something. I've never done it except in this workshop. I didn't feel it was a good gesture. There are other gestures which certain expressions. See, you are, know this since childhood, so therefore you are immediately silent when everyone knows this gesture. And there is this gesture. My Lord, please pick me up. Then there is dancing with the feet. Then there's dancing with the weight. Mudra Nitya is employing hand gesture. Padan Ritya, Nitya means dancing, is dancing with the feet. Katin Ritya means dancing with the waist. Sometimes you may see devotees like this. This is authorized. And then there is Savan Nritya. It means dancing with the whole body. Everything dances. The arms, the eyes, the ears, the limbs, and so on. Dance is playing. The goddess of dance, is of ecstatic dance, is playing in the heart and the body of an ecstatic devotee. When in the spiritual world, Krishna dances by exhibiting these dance moves which we heard. What was the first dance move? The neck. Second?
Eyes.
Third?
Expression.
Yeah. Fourth?
Feet.
Not yet. It's almost. Madhura Nitra means dancing with devotional expressions. But Mudra Nitya means employing hand gestures, perhaps. It's like this. Then there is dancing with, you said it already, feet, thank you, Paranitya. Then there is Katin Nritya, dancing with the waist. And finally, at the end, what? Yes, Savan Nritya. Krishna once there is a leela where Krishna had begged Radharani to be his dance teacher, but Radha declined because she said, you are a cowherd, you are for simple activities. She was in a sulky mood. So then Krishna learned dancing alone in the forest, and the gopis said, you know, Krishna is nowhere to be seen, but we have heard news that he's alone in the forest and he dances. Would you like to see Radha? So Radha came. She was hiding behind a bush or tree, you know, in the forest, foliage. And Krishna, who can sense Radha's presence, started to dance. And he started with the feet. Then he started with the waist. Then he employed the hands. Then he danced with expression, turning toward the hiding place of Radha, you know. Then he started to dance with his eyes. And then his head moved around like the peacock, as is known for his... And Radha then couldn't keep her composure, and she came also, and the divine couple danced together. And after this, Radha asked, who taught you these dance movements? Mm-hmm. And Krishna said, just thinking of you. Just you came in my mind and taught me everything. In a loving way, he expressed. So, But all this dancing, if you would now learn these movements and so on, it would be not very pleasing without the bhava. There is a well-known story, which I have told a few times, about the art of bow shooting. In my new book, I speak about this art in relationship to meditation. You have to meditatively pull your bow, focus the arrow, and bring your mind away from your body and ego and put it totally in the goal. And then, if you have learned this art, your bow shoots almost automatically. And as a side effect, you more often than not meet the target. When this meditation, you know, which is about giving up the ego, where you put your mind just somewhere else and park it, it's no longer engaged. When this is done to perfection, the bowstring will sound in a certain way, like this. And the Zen master will check if this is in the bowstring. So there was once an American student, nothing against America here, who learned the bow shooting art without the meditations it involves, without the inner mood of becoming free from ego. And he said to the Zen master, I've learned the art. So the Zen master came and heard and saw him. When the arrow had left the bowstring, it met the target. And the American student did a second time. When he shot the second arrow, it split the first arrow and went in the target. Perfect shot. But the Zen master spit on the floor and went away. He hadn't heard the singing of the bowstring. It was an external imitation of a deeply spiritual activity. So no one will hopefully do this. This is from a different culture. I mean, show his disappointment in this way. But I must again repeat, the mood, the inner mood of devotion, which makes everything alive with the right vibration or energy or so on, is very important. There is a Sanskrit verse which instructs us about the proper mood of dancing. Can I read it to you?
Yes.
It's a little bit moving. Alas, I have passed so many days engaged in meaningless sense gratification, and by acting independently from you, according to my own intelligence, I have accumulated so much karma. Aho! In this way I have fallen far away from you, my Lord, the Lord of the universe, and I have not been able so far to put an end to my misery. Therefore today, I behave like a little child. I dance in abandon, means fully, as I raise my arms to the sky. Then I call out and perform the eighth dance movement. I roll about in the dust. Just see, will Krishna not be merciful and take me into his own lap? Like a child, he will first go like this, and we won't do this today, the eighth dance movement that you can do when you are alone somewhere. The child, when it's not picked up by the parent, it will roll in the dust, you know. In English, you will say throws a tantrum. No? My dear devotee, such devotional dancing where the heart is full with these feelings. My Lord, I have left you. Now I'm turning to you and I'm raising my arms. Please pick me up. The Chaitanya Bhagavat says such dancing purifies not only one's own heart, but the entire planet. And by raising the hands in the sky, the atmosphere is also purified up to the places where the devatas reside. We all know when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted the devotees who had come to Jagannath Puri from Navadvip, they did this ecstatic kirtan and they danced into Puri. At that time, the king of Orissa, what was his good name again? Pratapa Rudra, right, yes. He stood at the roof of the palace. I've said this many times. In Puri, you can see so many kirtan styles and so many dancing styles. So he had seen kirtan and chanting and dancing. But when he saw the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw something which he had not seen in other kirtans. He saw a certain effulgence around them. It was like a light. And he said, what is this? What is this kirtan? And Gopinath Acharya, who had seen the kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, explained, this kirtan is a special manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called Prema Sankirtan. No? So in this kirtan, and we will now come to something practical, you have three elements. Actually, for this, we have practiced something. Gaurahari, would you go there and play the melody? You have first the raga. Grossly translated, the melody, the music. Gaurahari will play something which we will need later. Beautiful. This, when some of you were not yet born, and it has a magic, it's a raga. Then you add the tala. We will sing. Tala means rhythm. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You can hear the rhythm now. And then the katas come. These are all rhythm instruments, no? Oh, Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Please do sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
Was this correct? Was the sound there? The new. You have to ask yourself. I think with many of you, I did hear a little bit. It carried over from Jamashtami. If you only have raga and tala, it's not yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. It's music. It's not yet transcendental. You still need a third element. Remember? Bhava, the feeling. Yes. There is a book about devotional music. It's called Sangita Madhava, which says that these three elements bring about a transcendental experience. It's bhava, the transcendental mood, or the devotional mood. Ra, it means raga, and tala, ta. Ba, ra, ta. Now this should not inflate national pride in anyone who is from India, Bharata. This was before, this book was written before any, those who didn't understand this not so subtle joke will say Bharata is a name for India, and sometimes Indians go, ah! Well, it's nice that you are enthusiastic for your country, but here it means bhava, raga, and tala. Bharata. When these three elements come together, it brings a transcendental experience. My dear devotees, without this transcendental experience, you may be learned in many shastras, scriptures. You may be a philosophical genius in Krishna consciousness. But I totally agree with our good friend Keshava Maharaj, who says what we need now, even more than theoretically philosophical expertise, is experience. The Bhakti Ratnakar says Gita, or singing devotionally, Vadya, or musical performance, and Nritya, dancing, attracts devas and humans. Srila Prabhupada brings it to the point. He says, our temples are meant to facilitate these three things: chanting, dancing, and worshipping. all the centers of the Krishna consciousness movement are open only for this purpose, to facilitate chanting, dancing, and worshipping. And this way we will not forget Krishna. Now, I want to now carefully guide you in a practical dance workshop. I will show you two dance steps. I want to encourage you, we have some of us who are very outgoing and they take great pleasure to show their joy outwardly and hope that someone will make a photo and they will get likes on Facebook. That's not the right bhava. So we have a few outgoing people. If you do not stay within the workshop and jump out of the box, those of us who are introverted will freeze. And I must say, because I have both these sides in my personality, I might freeze and the workshop will come to a standstill. So you please do like, I will be now your dance instructor. I will dance you at dance step which every one of you, also the introverts, also those who are psychologically a little bit gehemmed, or please let us stay a little bit serious, because you will hurt the others when you laugh like this. Blocked. All of us are sometimes blocked a little. They will not be able to derive any spiritual benefit from this. So it is a sacred dance which we will perform, not something where we show off as something, because that would not be spiritual. That would make it material. Yes? I have about three devotees in my mind who could make that blunder, so I have told it to you. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Krishna, please sit here. Gaurahari, you can, I think, be there. I now must take this. What? I don't know if it will work, the wireless mic. I can. Yes? Okay. This time I do not intend, because it's a workshop, to give an ecstatic. We have had a very ecstatic kirtan, and you were really very good. It will be more as a sacred dance where we are concentrating when the bhava is there. Okay? So I request you all to please say that. Maybe Casey, you can collect the cushions and boys can help. Maybe Baba Krishna, would you be so kind to, and David, would you please remove the cushion to the who of you plays nice cards? The others? Papa, please come here. Jivanath, are you with us? You also please. Do you have a pair of cards? I have always wanted to do this in our temple. Everyone is moving away. Please, it will be very pleasant. Don't be afraid. Everyone's it will be very pleasant. So, today we will show you the Swami step.
Are you afraid?
No.
Buddha Bhavana, no fear. This year, okay. So the first is, we will dance, and this is what Prabhupada wanted us to dance like this. He showed us very often. Please take your right foot and go like this. Krishna, help me. Left and right.
And you address Krishna
when you are chanting, you call out and call to him already, and you communicate with him, please do accept me. I admit this is maybe not so easy to do this in a workshop, but let us try as much as we can. We can go up now.
Thank you.
So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is a very simple point, but very profound. Did you also... what was your experience chanting like this? What? You are speechless.
Wonderful.
Who's nice?
Not self-conscious.
Not self-conscious. Wow. Mm. Yes?
And this is actually the way I really would like to live. This is the feeling I would like to cultivate in every moment of my life.
Yeah.
I want to live like this.
Want to live like this, move like this. Dance like this, be like this, no? Yes. It's a very, very simple thing. And if you, I must tell you, I was once making a pause of 3 days. I had been in Durban for a long Ratha Yatra festival. There were His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj leading kirtans. And I would also lead kirtans, and we had like I remember there were 150,000 guests on the Ratha Yatra festival. So we were very exhausted afterwards, we went to the Drakensberg. That's, I think, how you say it in Dutch. In a resort, and the devotees told me I should not walk alone because there are lions. But I was so much in the need to be alone that I said, I dealt with 150,000 human beings. I can deal with one lion, no problem. They are mostly more peaceful. So I made a walk all by myself, and walked and walked, and the sun started to come down at the horizon. And then I came to a cave. It is a known cave in the area. It's not that I discovered the cave, but I came to this cave, and on the inside the cave, I saw a circle of people. I mean, they were, I should make it more clear, drawings of people with something like chalk, and they were there standing in a circle and raising their arms in worship. And I later was interested to find out, and somehow those who were with me knew computer, how to deal with a computer, and they found out that this is a prehistoric drawing. I think they must have drawn the things after, you know, because so old. And but at least this drawing was always there. It was found when the cave was open, and it shows people coming together and worshiping the Lord through song and dance. It is a very, very nice thing. And if you can incorporate this in your own life, my dear devotees, very good exalted states are waiting for you. Just remember to do it as a bhava. I am nowadays personally a little afraid of dancing the way I'm used to dance, because devotees will then make photos, and this is then I happen to become self-conscious. I don't know how you are, but when someone sticks a camera before me, that is not good. But I dance alone in my room, because this movement places so much emphasis on chanting and dancing. But it must get this right. By this dancing will be, when it's properly done, it will not inflate your egos, but it will bomb your ego. And it will, bomb is a strong word, it will dissolve your identification with the body and the mind and how you look and so on. No, so this is the first part of the art of chanting. I have many more parts, but I prefer to let this be alone, and I will just see if you have any questions now which you would like to ask on the subject matter, preferably. Let me end in a surprising way with a quotation, and you can tell me who said it. And those who saw the dancers but didn't hear the music thought the dancers were crazy. Yes, that is one German philosopher who liked to dance. Those who saw the dancers but didn't hear the music thought these dances are crazy. So in the same way, there is an ancient, I found it yesterday, there's an ancient mumbling and singing the many names. The onlookers say they are crazy. Entering and not entering cities, standing still or swaying. Before a laughing world, they dance, they leap, undone by feeling, and the gods bow down before them. This is by the very ancient Vaishnava Acharya Namalva. He was a few thousand years back. He already noticed, yes, these devotees chant and they may go in the towns, they may stay alone, they may sway. Sway means move left and right before a laughing world. they dance, they leap, undone by feelings, and the gods bow down to them. It's sacred dance. Fine. So, I was shy to give the seminar for many, many years because I have never seen a seminar on dancing in our movement. And there are more parts to come which go deeper and deeper and deeper. But here I wanted to just bring to your attention the beautiful art of dancing and what it can do. There are many, many more steps which I do every seminar part. I introduce one new step, and at the end we are embarrassed with our dancing. Yes. All right. So let me now see, do you have any questions regarding this? Shumit. And what?
Wireless.
Yes, we have. And then Nitai Gunamani, by the way, I did not really greet you. Haribo, welcome. So, Shumit, please ask.
Thank you for this wonderful practical seminar. And I feel like, I love to dance. But today I learned a new thing that while dancing we can put our bhava and bhakti in dancing. So thanks a lot, Maharaj, for that. Maharaj, basically I have two questions. Like in one of the lectures I have heard that, like for example, in the temple there are new like guests comes, and when we try to pull them in the dancing, they feel shy or they couldn't join with us. So in the lecture I have heard like when people have like past bad karmas, so they cannot come and join in this Hari Kirtan and dancing. So my question is like, is it true or is there something like that? And my second question is, Maharaj, so how can we explain it to a newcomer so easily that they can directly come and dance with us, Maharaj?
There is a saying, every child knows about God. Not the God of the many do's and don'ts, but the God who comes to the human race and simply repeats 2-4 words. Come, dance with me. Originally, we are all like sparks in a fire. We belong to the great fire, Krishna, but we have fallen out of the fire, and our spark-like enthusiasm has gone. like pieces of wood which fall out of the fire and become black charcoal. It's Holzkohl in Deutsch, a charcoal. No? And therefore, we are feeling very sinful and very far away. We may not like to dance. We are also blocked by our own psychology and our karma. We can dance in a disco, but that is everyone understands it, that's different. In the disco, I enjoy afterwards or during the thing or after midnight. There is particular special features in some discos. That is easy, but the simple sacred dance may be difficult. I think the way devotees asked people to join their dance is not always right. The not always right is that they just step over the sensibilities of people. They pull them in the midst of the dancing kirtan party, and people feel absolute strangers. Like if you would go into an assembly of gruftis, I think you don't know what that is. They all have melancholic songs and melancholic dress, and yes, I'm thinking about my rotten flesh in the grave. That's a groovy song, a grufty song. You would feel so you have to acknowledge that some people are not familiar with our ways and therefore feel culturally challenged. But I think if you make it easy for them, if the devotees don't have a very, very intense grin on their face when they chant, for instance, but you make it easy and you gently and politely invite them to come in, many people join. I have seen in Ljubljana, when we do kirtans, street kirtans in Ljubljana, many people come. I've seen ladies in burqas dancing and with the Arabic men next to it, you know, smiling and showing all their golden teeth, you know. I have seen, but it has to be gently, softly, and it has to, the idea of fun needs to come in. If it's the idea of religious excitement, they can't feel that. And never pull someone like who's standing on the wall. He just came to see, and then you try to pull, and you will see he will develop strengths like Arnold Schwarzenegger and escape, you know. No, no. There are exceptions. I know people. I have, in my young days, I have gone to the walls when I was leading kirtans where they were hiding, and I took them and put them in the midst of the kirtan. And in some cases, it works. They have become devotees, but these are rather exceptions than the rule. So let us be gentle, let us be understanding. If someone wants to only see or swing a little bit left and right, that is that needs to be respected. They have their own things. Yes, Nitai Gunamani. Nitai Gunamani.
Sometimes in kirtan we get some well-meant advices like now please chant from your heart,
yeah.
Or please draw back your mind from the outside, or my favorite is now chant like you really mean it.
Yeah.
And I feel almost like that there must be some secret switches or buttons inside of us which we just have to switch or turn, to just switch off on switch off our mind or switch on our heart, But I honestly have to say...
can't do that, yes.
I haven't found them yet. Maybe I found the switch to go on my mind for some moments. So maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, some of us, we are the way we are. And it is good if we know how we are and what works for us and what does not work for us. Mm. As someone who is trying to present the philosophy and the life of Krishna consciousness, I personally use a few ways which I have seen Prabhupada using. And one of these ways is to provoke thoughtfulness in my audience. It's almost like throwing out a question: Are you only existing, or have you start living? It's a provocative question. What am I just existing, or have I start living? I think it's the IKEA slogan, you know. So so it's not an original slogan, but. It's a thought-provoking method. It's also like Prabhupada, he had totally started my intention by, in the lecture, it came a little bit almost isolated. He asked the question, what do you do for eternity? I must say I felt challenged at that time because I was on a health retreat. I was really taking care of the body which was hurt and damaged with chemical gas. I was attacked by chemical gas at one stage in my life, and it came as a wake-up call. So I believe when a kirtan leader and I do recognize these short words, I do recognize it, says it, I cannot interpret everyone, but I personally do it to bring my audience out of the what I consider the killing of spiritual life, a mechanical practice where the mind is not involved. And I'm happy that I stirred you up. That is the intended reaction. It is. You could call it thought-inducing words. Yes. But I agree. I am also from North Germany, like you. I can't do anything which involves feelings on command. I just go and turn the other way around. And this is how I'm made. I grew up in this culture and so on. But I have... So it doesn't work for everyone. If it doesn't work for you, just do bzzz, the little sound bzzz, in your mind, blend it out, and go back to the kirtan the way you can chant. What is not good is if you force yourself into something that, first of all, doesn't work, as you are telling, and second of all, for those where it would work, you can force yourself to imitate something at least, it doesn't create long-lasting spiritual effects. Yeah, I sometimes also, the modern kirtan, we have this a lot in ISKCON, chant from your heart. How do I do this, Madhava? But I know what they mean with this, what a kirtaniya like Madhava means. He's connect with, see, these devotees who say it, at least those who I know say it. There are, of course, the modern, the young kirtaniyas who just imitate the old kirtaniyas. But those who are elderly and who think about this, they know you can chant from various places, and the best place is from a devotion, where you turn to Krishna with devotion. So I would recommend you, when you hear the next time, chant from your heart and you wish to jump out of the window. then it will be only one sentence. It's only 10 seconds, 5 seconds maybe. Then what they mean is that you should think of Krishna and chant in a devotional mood, like, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service, or so on, and switch that part on. You asked, I have not yet found the switch. Nitaigunamani, perhaps it will help you to understand that all of us are multifaceted human beings. There are parts in us which are critical. There are parts, especially towards us, ourselves. There is a part in us who always wants to work on our public image, you know, the way we look for the world. There's a part of us that wants to achieve something. There is a part on us who wants to relax and appreciates entertainment or a good story or something. But there is also a part, and I would like to say that's the main part, who longs for Krishna. And we have to find that sometimes. How do you do this? How do you find the part which longs for Krishna? The easy way is you hear some prayers and so on, and you wait until you can emphasize with some prayers. At the moment when yes, I can feel like that, then you have found that part. Those who are, you know, there's so many different human beings. There are other human, this is easy for everyone, but there are others, like I know a few of my friends, they know which voice speaks at the moment or which is prominent at the moment. No, in my life now, at this moment, you find the lecturer Satchinandan Swami, who wants to convince Nitaigunamani. That part is now speaking. But there are many other parts. And when I go in the forest, for instance, and I'm alone, I switch to that other part of Satchinandan Swami, which is to just pray to Krishna and be alone. So that I have done this, finding the personality and being clear in what personality I act, that I've done over years. It takes practice maybe, but after some time, you know who's speaking. You know, for instance, when, oh my God, now Mr. Fear is speaking in me, who doesn't follow any rational thinking. Oh, now Mr. Critic speaks in me. You know. It takes a little what is called viveka, and it's not everyone's cup of tea in our movement. I recognize this because, there are so many reasons for this, but it is also not so important, but that's something you can do. It's very helpful when you sit down for chanting. You just say, okay, let me switch off now the the teacher in me who needs to teach, who needs to prepare his new class. Nitai Gunamani is a teacher, and so on. I'm now, now, let me switch off this part with his many concerns. Let me now come to the concern that I'm a devotee of Krishna and try to address it. So this call now, chant for the heart, is a call. Please be chant as a devotee with devotion. That's a feeling emotion. No? I hope I have answered your question to some degree of satisfaction. But I can also not say sing from your heart when you are in the kirtan. It's not it's not necessary. Hare Krishna. Yes, there is. I see. I will ask those who never ask questions, whom I not often have the opportunity to answer questions. Ekanti, please.
I just wanted to ask if we can listen to the other parts of the seminar somewhere.
Thank you, thank you. not during this time, but perhaps if it is all. Where I live, I have one huge cupboard, which is full with ideas for different types of seminars. And this I just found before. There are a few others, like the history of kirtan. I've never given it. How it came and how it developed and so on. And there are others. There are other notes for books which I want to publish after my death. Then you really know who Sachinandan Swami was. I'm saying it jokingly, but no one laughs. So I have to say it properly. Then I will share some important thoughts also. Thank you for your encouragement. I will see when the next time comes that I can give it. Mm-hmm. Yes, Ananga Manjari. So many. I learn if I give a simple lecture, more questions come. We cannot hear. Yes, Hare Krishna, Nitya Keshwari.
It was really surprising to have the live session. It's not a question, it's something I remember. Who we know that he famously said God is dead, but he also said something which his biographer reveals: I would only believe in God who knows how to dance. Mm-hmm. So very interesting how he chose this place.
Yeah, when he said God is dead, he meant the God which Christianity gave. He said, what did he say? I raise the most dangerous argument against Christianity now. When you hear that, you go like, ooh. Christianity has taken everything that is natural from us. That was his view. I'm not sharing it. I'm just saying why he said God is dead. No? He believed very much that there were more natural expression of believing in God and the goddess as it was talked in the Celtic religions, and by going and on a big mission and even forcing people with a sword and by political structures into the new belief, which was mixed with elements which were not spiritual, he thought that they have killed God. If you read carefully his texts, he wrote many beautiful things about God, but it is a different concept than ours. Anyways, I'm not want to speak here about Friedrich Nietzsche. I have also not read much, but I've read. You know, I have to give sometimes university lectures, and I need to know what they say and relate it with Krishna consciousness. Good. My dear devotees, looking at the wristwatch and also asking my own timings here, I think we should end here. I hope it was a useful seminar for you. I hope that you were able to. Did you get this point about devotional feelings or the Krishna Bhavanamrita? It's called the nectar of Krishna consciousness, and combining this with kirtan. And be careful in your kirtan when you do and you're singing and dancing that you are not all of a sudden invaded by the ego, which is just waiting. It has waited in valleys for you. The ego waits when on top of the mountains for you. It comes everywhere where you go, certainly also into kirtan, and then it might color your discrimination. No? But this is something where you make a switch really and turn to Krishna. I thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.
Hare!